In a world drowning in contradictory parenting advice, Bless This Mess offers something revolutionary: permission to embrace the beautiful chaos of family life. This quiet phenomenon has spread through parenting circles precisely because it rejects the pursuit of perfection. Instead of rigid rules or permissive abandonment, it charts a middle course, combining progressive spirituality with sound psychological science. The collaboration between Pastor Molly Basket and child psychologist Ellen O'Donnell resonates because it meets parents where they actually live, in the messy, imperfect reality of raising children who are fearfully and wonderfully made with distinct personalities and needs. What if the goal isn't perfect parenting, but authentic connection? What if God isn't waiting for us to get everything right, but is present in the chaos, blessing our imperfect efforts with unexpected moments of transcendence and joy? The Holy Trinity of parenting balances three essential elements: autonomy, support, structure, and involvement. Rather than viewing children as raw material to shape, we're invited to discover who they truly are and love them into being. This approach echoes Proverbs 22:6, where "in the right way" in Hebrew actually means according to the child's own nature, working with their grain rather than against it. This aligns with self-determination theory, which shows humans need three elements for motivation: autonomy, feeling in control; competence, feeling effective; and relatedness, experiencing secure attachment. Balance is crucial. Autonomy without structure creates boundaryless relationships. Structure without involvement becomes tyranny. Involvement without autonomy creates helicopter parenting. The goal isn't perfection, but good enough parenting, while remembering a higher parent is always present. Having authority differs from being controlling. Clear limits provide necessary structure while respecting children's autonomy. Most children's entertainment features clear heroes and villains, but real-life morality is messier. Anti-bullying programs that simply label children as bullies or upstanders fail to prepare them for complex moral dilemmas where the right choice isn't obvious. Children naturally progress from black and white thinking to nuanced moral reasoning. Young children follow rules to avoid punishment, while teens consider disappointing parents and harming others. Adults wrestle with moral complexity, like whether stealing medicine for a sick child is truly wrong in an unjust system. Through scaffolding with hypothetical scenarios, biblical stories, and real-world conflicts, we can elevate children's moral reasoning. Instead of the myth of redemptive violence that divides conflicts into good versus evil, we should teach that humans are complex, capable of both harm and transformation. When children make poor choices, staying calm and distinguishing between disappointment in their actions versus them as people helps them internalize values while understanding that mistakes don't define them. Raising moral humans requires giving children opportunities to think, reason, and sometimes fail. Modern Sundays rarely resemble the restful Sabbath we long for, often filled with exhaustion rather than relaxed family time. Building rhythms of rest, play, and spiritual observance enhances our lives. The most effective way to raise spiritually minded children is attending to your own spiritual practices, integrating spirituality into daily life beyond church. Parents serve as their children's first ministers, even with our doubts, which Frederick Buchneth called the ants in the pants of faith. Share your spiritual experiences and treat their questions seriously. Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel noted that entering Sabbath requires laying down the profanity of clattering commerce. Shabbat literally means stop. Sabbath isn't a guilty pleasure, but a divine gift and commandment, the longest of the Ten Commandments, as if God anticipated our resistance to slowing down. Research shows play develops empathy, reduces stress, fosters innovation, and helps us adapt to change. Play is any purposeless activity that brings joy and dissolves ego boundaries, something that delights God, who was the first to play through creation. Regular family meals provide significant benefits: reduce teenage anxiety and risky behaviors, less disordered eating, higher GPAs, and improved self-esteem. Device-free meals create space for meaningful storytelling. Saying grace transforms ordinary eating into spiritual practice by centering attention on God, cultivating gratitude, and encouraging mindful eating. Christianity offers a fundamentally body-positive theology centered on God's incarnation in Jesus. Unfortunately, conventional Christian teaching often became body-negative, adopting just-say-no attitudes toward physical pleasure. Research shows abstinence-only education doesn't work. Teens with limited information face higher risks. Effective education provides options, abstinence, delay, moderation, accurate information about peer behaviors, and skills for autonomous choices. A progressive Christian definition of healthy sexuality might be, good sex is sex that is good for everybody involved. Paul's teaching that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit suggests our bodies are uniquely ours, but not entirely our own. When discussing sex with children, use proper anatomical terms, showing openness to potentially embarrassing topics. Teaching consent is crucial. Children should understand their bodies belong to them alone, and they can say no when uncomfortable. For healthy body image, parents should model positive attitudes, avoid negative self-talk about appearance, never discuss dieting, and focus on healthy eating and exercise for feeling good. The core message? Children's bodies are beautiful gifts, fearfully and wonderfully made. Jesus urged his followers not to worry about necessities, though without specific instructions. Having children means your heart walks outside your body, but brave parenting isn't eliminating worry, it's preventing fear from dictating decisions. Worry traps anxieties until they grow monstrous. Prayer surrenders concerns to someone with broader perspective. Worry positions us as powerless masters, while prayer acknowledges we're not in charge. The key is distinguishing between possible versus probable outcomes. Two essential practices: never worry alone, share with trusted people, and seek help when struggles appear across multiple life areas, the rule of twos and threes. For children with differences, the most important message is that they aren't broken or burdensome, but beautiful and made in God's image. While God didn't cause their condition, He can use these challenges to bring goodness to their lives and others. Remember that your anxiety can impact children through overprotection, while depression can lead to distant parenting. Why self-care matters. Put your own oxygen mask on first. Our primary parenting task is knowing and loving our children as God does, with all their beauty, flaws, and imperfections. We won't always feel in love with our children during challenging phases, but parenting is love school, training us to love beyond behavior and achievement. God exists in the space between people, in midnight conversations with troubled teens, silent car rides after difficult days, in moments of shared connection. Nothing separates us from this love, not their cringeworthy phases, oppositional behavior, anxiety, depression, or even death itself. Perfect parenting is a myth. Embracing imperfection creates space for authentic growth. In the beautiful mess of family life, the clutter, interrupted conversations, imperfect holidays, God isn't waiting for perfection, but is present in the chaos, blessing our efforts and turning messiness into opportunities for growth and deep, abiding love.